You know, when you glorify something, you take something and you treat it to be more excellent than what it normally would be. Honor or praise something. And in our lives, we glorify a lot of things. You know, when you say, I see somebody will ask, you know, what's the best book you're reading right now? And then everybody kind of does what you guys are going to do with the ladies thing. You kind of go into your sales pitch. Right? You glorify your favorite book. You're like, man, this book is the best. And let me tell you why without giving you too much. Somebody's looking for a favorite TV show. It's like, what are you watching? It's like, oh, you've got to check this show out. It's amazing. And you really build it up, right? Well, what we're doing is we're glorifying it. We're making it, treating it in a place where it'd be more excellent or better or greater than what it would normally be considered. And that's fine. It's not a bad thing to necessarily do when we do that. But there's a lot of things in our lives that we glorify. We talk about how great it is to build it up, right? A lot of us, if you're like me, I said I've never in my life have I wanted to be a salesman. I don't like salesmen generally. Sorry if you are a salesman. I'm just saying generally I don't like them because I want you to leave me alone until I have a question for you. And I don't like to be that person that's trying to push and do something. I'm like, if you want it, buy it. If you don't, then don't. I don't really care, you know. So I would not make a very good living as a salesman, but you realize that we're all salesmen, right? There's always something in our lives that we're glorifying, that we're promoting, that we're building up. Just think about the things that we talk to each other about. Some of you guys that I'm closer with, you know what I like to eat because I talk about food a lot, right? And I'll tell you, man, you've got to check out the taco truck in Effingham because they're the best steak nachos you will have in this country. I'm confident in that. Now, if you cross the border into Mexico, I don't know. But around here, right, we're selling things. We're promoting things. We're talking about things. And at the end of the day, what is the ultimate thing that we are promoting with our lives? What are we glorifying in our lives? If somebody looks at you, what would they say is that thing that your life is shouting out? Because we're all created to promote the same thing. We're all created to sell the same thing, to glorify the same thing, and that is Jesus Christ. And so when we think about glorifying God and what does that look like in my life, maybe I don't want to be that person that they only talk about God and nothing else and they can't relate to anybody. And I get that. I'm not saying you can't have other interests, but at the big picture, what is your life really shouting out? What is really being shown? And so I want to look today in John chapter 17 where Jesus showed us how to glorify God. He says in chapter 17, verse 1 of John, Jesus spoke these words. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Right there, that last part. The glory that I had with you before the world was. The answer to all the people who question, where was Jesus at before the world began? He was with God. He is God, right? He was in glory, in equal glory with the Father. And he says, bring me back to that place to where I was before the world began. Was. This right here is an opening to a much longer prayer, and I'd really encourage you to read that. Make that your assignment for this week, is just to read John chapter 17 slowly, contemplate what Jesus is saying, because it's really, you know, we think about the Lord's Prayer, you know, when he was teaching the disciples a model for prayer. It's, you can repeat it if you want. It's not really the purpose of that prayer. It's a model for prayer. It's like, here are some things, some directions, some ways that you should pray. This right here in John chapter 17 is a prayer straight from the heart of Christ to the Father. It's just him praying about his life, about the life of the disciples, the life of the church to come and what they're going to do. But I just encourage you to meditate on this. But this section here at the beginning is really mainly about glory. The Father is glorified. Jesus is glorified. And so what does that mean? Right? We say a lot of stuff in church that, you know, we may kind of know what it means, but I'm not really sure why we say that all the time. We say, I glorify your name. Right? We sing that in a lot of songs. Glory to God forever, right? What is this? What are we saying? And so when you think about glorifying something, just to make it simple, all right, we're going to look at lighting. Think about lighting, okay? Most lights, like these in here, are meant to illuminate a larger area, right? You turn on a light, it's not going to focus on any specific thing. It's going to illuminate a larger area. These up here that we have pointing on our stage are not really stage lights. These are floodlights. These are what you would use a lot of times outside, you know, to flood an area with light, to illuminate a large area. If you notice, these light up basically the entire stage. In fact, if we only had about two of those on, it would light up almost two-thirds of the stage. They're floodlights. They flood an area with light. But there's another kind of light. There's a kind of light that doesn't illuminate many things. It's made to draw your attention to one thing. That's called a spotlight, right? We have one up there. We got a nice big spotlight, and you turn that spotlight on, and it zeroes in on something specific. It shows you, this right here is what I want you to focus on. This right here is what's important. This right here is where the action is. Look at this, right? I'm not trying to show you everything. I'm trying to show you a specific thing, and this is what it's like to glorify something. It's like shining a spotlight on that individual one main thing. And Jesus said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. Father, shine that spotlight on your Son, that your Son may turn around and shine that right back on you. See, Jesus had just shared with his disciples about the Holy Spirit and what his work was going to be. He's just shared with them not to fear, because he had overcome the world. And now here it's the time. Time to shine that spotlight on Jesus. And what you need to know this morning, if you don't already, is that Jesus is selfless. Amen? He's selfless. He's not saying, shine the spotlight on me, like, you know what? It's my time to get some honor. It's my time for everybody to look at me. His nature is one that is selfless. His goal is not really, hey, look at me. How many times had we seen him do things like heal someone, and then he would say, now go and don't tell anybody what I've done, right? We would see him do something, and he was not trying to draw attention to himself in those moments. In fact, part of the reason that he was doing that is because the people, even in the limited things that were getting out, he was in this place where they're trying to force him to be an earthly king. That's a lot of spotlight, isn't it? And if he really wanted it, he could have said, you know what? I can do what the Father told me to do. I can still be sinless and be a king. But that's not what his job was. That's not what the task was at hand. But they wanted to give him power and authority, but that's not the kind of power and authority that he came for. But it is the kind of power and authority he's coming for next time. Amen? This spotlight, it's time for the spotlight. This tells us that something shifted in Jesus's earthly ministry. He goes from staying out of the spotlight, trying to slip out of the crowds and be unnoticed and go off to be in the quiet, in the private, to now this point of it's time to be in the spotlight. Verse 2 says that you've given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Jesus was given authority over all people. Given authority. Remember, as he laid down his divinity, as he set it aside to come be born of a virgin, that he set aside that authority. He set aside that authority to live a sinless life as a man and defeat sin. And here we see the Father has restored that power, and Jesus is given this power to give eternal life to all that the Father has given him. Jesus is judge. Right? Jesus is the judge. He's the one that holds salvation in his hand because he's the one who paid the debt that was owed. Right? He purchased that. And so when this spotlight is on him, the thing is, it's time to make him known. Again, this isn't a selfish, I want people to know me. He's trying to make himself known, not just as a teacher. A lot of people knew him as a good teacher. In fact, many other religions, what do they say about Jesus? They admit he existed, and they pretty much universally say he was a good teacher. They're like, yeah, great teacher. Like, okay, well, great. Why don't you listen to anything that he said? You know? That's usually my thought. But he was a great teacher, and people believe that. A lot of people also believe that he was a healer. Listen, some of the very people who were shouting, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, were people that Jesus healed. They were people that he did a miracle in their life. They believed that he was a healer. This wasn't something that was hard for people to understand. That people believed that he was a deliverer. There were people who he had cast demons out of, who were probably in the crowd yelling, crucify him. It wasn't hard to believe and receive him as those things because they had seen the evidence of those pieces of who he was. But now when this spotlight comes on, he's trying to reveal to the world that he is Lord. He has power and he has authority. Philippians 2:10 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on the earth, and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That he's Lord. Listen, you can confess that he's a great teacher. You can confess that he's a healer. You can confess that he's a deliverer, but until you are willing to confess that he is Lord, there's no way of salvation. No way. It doesn't matter how much you've been taught or how much you've been healed or how much you've had deliverance. It does not matter if you have not come to the place of confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. But now this spotlight is on him to be known as Lord, and that gives the opening for the spotlight as Savior. John 17:3 says, and this is eternal life. Going to the salvation part, he says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus has said things like, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Remember when he said that to the disciples? They're kind of like, you know, well, how do we know? And like, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen him. If you know Jesus, you know the Father. They are one, and they're one with the Spirit. But what is eternal life? Eternal life is not just a future inheritance. It's also a present possession. It's available because of the relationship with the Father that we obtain through the Son. So eternal life is to know him. He says, hey, it's time for the spotlight. Why? So that people would know me as Lord, they would know me as Savior, that they would know me, right? It's to know me personally, who I am, not just those things that I have done. And this is something that's missing in the lives of so many people that sit in churches all across America. this people that want to be saved just so they can go to heaven. That's it. I just want to know where I'm going at the end. But that's not the fullness of salvation. Salvation, one of the sweetest parts of it is that we get to know Christ today, right here, right now, knowing the love that was poured out for you on the cross to save you from your sin. Amen? Not just knowing the result of it, but knowing the one who poured that out for you. But then we get to know something else. We get to know a God who has risen from the dead. Hallelujah. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's pretty amazing to me. That in Christianity, we're the only religion that serves a living God. The only one. Every other one, he either is dead or he's gonna be dead. That's it. We get to serve the living God who has been risen from the dead. I want to tell you this morning that really happened, church. That's not just a story we reflect on every Easter. It's not just a story that we tell our kids. He really did die, and he really was risen from the dead. Amen? And he wants you to know him. He wants to know you personally. So this spotlight of heaven comes upon Jesus. And so that's when we begin to ask ourselves the question, what is the spotlight of my life really shining on? Is my spotlight shining on Jesus? I know the spotlight of heaven is shining on Jesus. I know that when we come together and we worship, I know the spotlight collectively is on Jesus. I know that when we preach the truth of the Word of God, I know the spotlight is always on Jesus. But what about me personally? What is my life glorifying? Is it glorifying Christ? Verse 4, Jesus said, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given to me to do. Jesus modeled what a life looked like that glorified God, didn't he? He modeled this for us. When he came to live a human life, he glorified God on the earth. There's a lot of times we can kind of separate life then and life now. How many of you have thought at some point, man, I wish I lived back then? I mean, maybe you don't hold that right now, but at some point, a lot of us have probably thought that. Man, I wish I lived in that time, in that season back then. I don't think we really get the reality of what it was like then. See, we think about the differences, what was different between now and then. But I want to tell you, we forget about all these things that were the same then as they are now. The earth was just as sinful then. You guys realize that? A lot of people say this is the worst it's ever been. I don't think so. I don't think it's the worst it's ever been. I think it's always been the same. I really do. Go back and read about Moloch and some of the stuff that they used to do to babies back then. It's the same. You might say it's worse now, it's worse then. I'm telling you, it's the same spirit. It's the same thing that we're dealing with. There's nothing new under the sun, okay? But we live in the same sinful earth. We have the same struggles. The struggles you have today, struggles you would have had then. We have the same hurts and pains that were present then. We have the same demonic opposition to the church today as what we did then. We have the same busyness in our lives. I'm going to tell you, they had the same 24 hours, right? Life's not busier now. It's really not. I mean, we have the same amount of time. It's just that priorities are different now. And they did not have a lot of the benefits that we have, like a car and a smartphone, right? You want to go to Effingham from here? 20 minutes, right? Now go try it on a donkey, right? I mean, we actually should have more time in our day today. You want to find out how to get somewhere? Go get on a donkey and not have directions and get lost. And as a man, refuse to ask for directions and travel around and see how long it takes you to get somewhere on a donkey versus pulling out your phone, typing in your destination, getting in your car with air conditioning or heat and just cruising on over, right? It's not that it's any easier or harder now. It's pretty much the same. It's just some of the amenities are better or worse. But Jesus, even in all of that, in the same world with the same problems, the same stuff, he says he glorified God on the earth. Said while he was on the earth, while he's on his mission, he shined his spotlight toward the Father in heaven. How many times do we see him say things like, I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I hear the Father say. How often do we hear him say, I've just got what the Father has given me. How many times do we see him go and seek the Father? I need his guidance, right? You know what? If I'm going to do what he's called me to do, I got to go and seek him. His life on earth was all about glorifying the Father in heaven. It was all about shining that spotlight back up. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus had that spotlight shining up, and it wasn't like a cry for help, like a bat signal, right? He wasn't shining that up saying, come help, come help, come help. He was shining it up saying, look at the Father in heaven, how great he is, how marvelous he is, how faithful he is, how loving he is. And Jesus said, I glorified you while I was on the earth, but I also did that by finishing the work which you gave me to do. He did the work that God gave him to do. And this is where a lot of times we get hung up at. Are we doing the work that God has given us to do? I know we're doing work. Are we doing the work that God has given us to do? He completed the work. Now for him, a big part of this work was the work on the cross. A big part of this work was the work that he did in the grave. A big part of it was the work of sending his Spirit to start and empower the church, who would then begin to do the work to further his work as he left, right? It's like Jesus trained up his replacement on the earth too. He said, I'm going to raise up the church, I'm going to empower it by my Spirit, and greater things will they do. Greater things. Are we doing the work that he's given us to do? Because Jesus did. This is how we glorify God. First of all, it's by what we do. It's by the things that we do. We can glorify God. Matthew 5:16 said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And then there's a result of that, that they may glorify your Father in heaven. We are to let our light shine in front of people. Let the light shine. Then from the light, they should see what we do and glorify our Father in heaven. When they see Christ in us, church, it puts the spotlight on God instead of on us. Here's the thing. It's not about my works being seen. That's not the focus. That's not the goal. It's not look at what I have done. It's about the light being seen. You've got to see that first in this passage. It's to let your light shine, to let Christ in you be seen, and then when they see your works, because they've seen the light, they will glorify your Father in heaven. It's all about glorifying him. It's all about the light being shined upon him. Look at God. Look at what he has done. Look at how great he is. Amen? Oswald Chambers said, it is inbred in us that we have to do exceptional things for God, but we have not. We have to be exceptional in the ordinary things to be holy in the mean streets among mean people, and this is not learned in 5 minutes. He's saying we think we have to do these exceptional things to glorify God, but that's not really the full reality of it. We have to glorify him in the ordinary things, in the holy, being holy in the mean streets, being holy among mean people. We've got to glorify God. It's not just about grand gestures. Listen, it's great to get up and give glory to God because he's healed you. Praise God. Let's do that. Absolutely. Amen. But if we're only telling of these big miracles that he's done, we're really falling short because he's still great in the ordinary things. Amen? He's still good in the ordinary things. He's still amazing in the everyday little bitty things that maybe you recognize, maybe you don't, maybe you acknowledge, maybe you don't. But you can't just glorify God in those big moments. I'm going to tell you, as a husband, you know, I don't just on my wife's birthday and anniversary tell her how amazing she is. If I did that, I'd have a lot of ground to make up when those holidays came around. It's not about just making a couple of grand gestures a year and being like, that's good enough. No, all throughout the year, I continue to remind her about how great she is, about how much she means to me, about how much I love her. And isn't marriage supposed to be a picture of the relationship between Christ and his bride back to him? Right? We've got to be in that place where every day on a regular basis, we're glorifying God. God, you are good, you are great, you're amazing. I thank you for what you do. I love you. I praise you for who you are. We've got to worship him and praise him and shine that light on him in the little things. What are the little things that God's doing in your life that you can shine that light upon? You know, when we think about things like praise the Lord, or we think about glory to God, you know, I want to say those every single day. I'm writing this sermon, I made that a goal of mine. I'm going to say those things every day. I'm going to look for the things that God's doing, and I'm going to point it out to myself. I'm going to be like, praise God for that. Glory to God for that. We need to start there, but listen, I'm going to tell you, even in our conversation with people, right? It's not just about letting that light shine when it's me in private, but with other people, we need to say things like, I'm blessed. Like, God is good. I was on a chat, a support thing for something the other day, and I was in the chat, and I wanted to snap. Have anybody ever been in those before where you're like, I've been in here for like 2 hours, and we're only like maybe halfway through this process that should have been really simple, and I was like, light of Christ, Tim, it's like you're doing other things. Like, I mean, it's not like I'm just totally sucked into this thing. I'm doing other things, but I had to keep telling myself, you've got to be the light of Christ. You want to be rude. You want to be straight to the point. Let's get with it and get this fixed. But remember, you've got to be the light of Christ. And they're like, how are you doing today? And I was like, actually, I am blessed. You know, I wasn't blessed because of them at this point in time, not in my mind, right? But I'm like, you know what? But really, I am blessed. And I was like, how are you doing today? Is your day going all right? And I was like, it's time for me to let the light of Christ come out. I got two options here. I let the darkness that is in me come out, right, that the Holy Spirit's still trying to work out, or I let the light of Christ out. And I chose to do that and to tell them that I'm blessed because God is good, and that I hope that they knew that too. There was the other day, me and Christy were at Walmart, and, you know, we went to Walmart and we needed something specific. We needed healthy choice cream of chicken soup, two cans to make a meal. And so we get there, and of course, that whole section is empty. No healthy choice. And I'm like, well, this really stinks. I'm trying to lose some weight or whatever, and I guess I'm going to have to get the unhealthy choice. And, you know, so I was getting ready to just go for it. Just grab them, like, well, what other choice do I have? And my wife, she's amazing. She does this stuff all the time. She, like, steps back, and she looks up there, and she's like, oh, hey, what's that? And she grabs one can, healthy choice, cream of chicken soup. And I was like, that's great. I was like, well, now we just got to get one unhealthy can. And she's like, no, just wait a minute. And she like looks and she's like, oh, what is that? And she grabs this can that is backwards. It's backwards. All the other cans around it were something else. And she grabs it and it's a can of healthy choice, cream of chicken soup. Two cans, that's what we needed. We put them in the cart, and I said, praise God, we're on our way. It was a little thing, but I'm going to tell you that I, in my heart, you may think I'm a little bit nutty, but I really, truly, in my heart, believe that that was God's blessing. That we found two cans of that. It's all they had. It's all we needed. But it took a moment of patience. And then I said, you know what? Glory to God. I acknowledged him even in a little thing. And then I don't remember what the other thing was. I forgot to ask her. But there was something else very similar to that that happened like later that day. Totally different place and everything. And I'm like, man, God is good. Church, this is where we need to start. We need to start by just saying, God is good. I praise you, God. I put the spotlight on you for even those little things that are going on in my life. I'm going to do it in private, because if I do it in private, guess what? It becomes habit, and I'll begin to do it in public. And that's where it says, so that our light shines before men. We're at in front of them, the light of Christ through our good deeds. John 1:4 tells us that in him was life. That's Jesus. In Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. If you have Jesus in you, the life, it causes the light of men to come out. Do you people see Christ in you? Do they recognize that when they see you? Does his light shine on the things that you do, and do you glorify the Father with those things that you do? The second thing is, we glorify God by what we say. Some of you guys just put your earbuds in. Like, I'm not listening to this. We glorify God by the things that we say. Romans 15, verse 5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord and Jesus Christ. With one mind and one mouth, glorify God. Glorify God with the things that you say. Glorify God with the words that you speak. I'm going to tell you, God is not a God of confusion. He's not the author of confusion. That's Satan. Amen. He's not a God of confusion. He's not a God of chaos. He's not a God that glorifies sin. Yet why is it so much of what comes out of the mouth of believers something that is rooted in doubt or worry or fear? Or it's something that causes division among his body when he says, be in one spirit and one mind, and then glorify God. Why is it when people give a testimony, you hear all this stuff about them, what they have done, and what they have been through? Now, it is a part of the testimony, but I'm saying at the end of the day, that spotlight needs to come out upon Jesus. Testimony not of what you have done. The testimony is of what he has done. So it's not 30 minutes of how terrible I was and then, but God has saved me. It's let the bigger picture be about Christ and what he has done. Amen? It's testimony of him. It's not about getting attention. Testimony is about giving attention and putting the spotlight on Jesus. Watch the things that we speak. Do they point to him? Right? Do the things that we say point to Jesus? Do we speak things of faith? Do we speak things that are filled with hope and with joy and with love and with patience, with kindness, with goodness? Do we have self-control in the things that we speak, church? When we combine the things that we do with the things that we say, and they're both focused on Christ, listen, that's how we live a life that is pleasing to him, and it's how we glorify him, that people see us and they say, wow, look at what God has done. Look at Christ and how amazing he is. A Christ-filled life, one that's striving to do what Jesus did, to complete the work that he has given us to do. complete the work. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought with a price, right? You were bought at a price, so glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It belongs to him. It ought to glorify him. Amen? Would you stand to your feet? This morning, as we get ready to open up the altars, when we think about glorifying God and putting the spotlight on him, I feel like this is a good time for people to come and find a place of repentance. You know, if it's something that you've struggled with, something that you've held on to, you know what? My actions haven't been very God-honoring. They haven't really glorified him. They haven't really shown that light on him. It's time to repent. It's that time that we come for a refreshing, a renewal. Repentance is for you, church. Repentance isn't for God, it's for us. It's that changing of our mind. It's that turning around, but it's not just that we're going to something, but we're going from something. I'm going to stop with those actions, and I'm going to try to live a life that is one that glorifies God. And the same with the things that we speak. Everybody can get a little negative from time to time. Things aren't going right. And you speak a little bit of negativity, and then it's a little more, a little more, a little more. Church, we need to find that place of repentance that even what we were singing earlier, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda, right? I'm repenting. I'm turning back around toward you. Revelation 4:11 says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. He is worthy today, church, of receiving glory and honor and power. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for your power. Lord, we thank you for your saving grace. God, we thank you, Lord, for your transforming power of your spirit, Lord. We thank you for the empowering of your spirit that gives us that boldness to be a witness, Lord, that sanctifies us, that changes and shapes us into the image of Christ. And so, Lord, I pray for each person here today that our lives would truly glorify you. Lord, that we could find ourselves in the place where we can say, as Christ did, that my time on this earth glorified my Father in heaven. My time here on this earth, I completed the work that he had for me to do. And so, Lord, I pray for a spirit of repentance. If we need to repent from our deeds or repent from our words, or if we need to repent from our mindset, Lord, that our lives have been all about us, and look at me, and look at what I've done and what I've accomplished, Lord, that it would turn around to a life that says, look at my God and how powerful he is and what he has done in spite of my weakness, in spite of my shortcomings. We give it all to you. We praise you. We honor you, Lord. As we open up these altars, Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come, that you'd work upon our hearts, draw each one of us close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.